In our K-1-2, we push in a lot with our teachers' assistants or paraeducators, who I also empower to for teachers to really use them as they would use me. Like, I love when I walk into a classroom and our teachers' assistants are running small groups. I think it's so neat, and students see them as teachers as well. And I feel like they should respect them as teachers as well. And they work in the school system. They are incredibly smart, just like we are. So I've encouraged teachers and our TAs to be utilized in that sort of way, because that's how our co-teach model works, is we do whole group instruction for a short amount of time. And then the rest of the time we're doing small groups. So two teachers are seeing groups of kids, you know?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and my special guest today is Amanda Unruh. And Amanda is the Special Education Department Chair at Boyd ISD in Boyd, Texas, which I did not know where that was. And she graciously told me it's west of Fort Worth, right? Is that what you said?
Yes, like northwest of Fort Worth.
Northwest. Okay, awesome. So welcome, Amanda, to the podcast. We're super happy to have you here.
Thank you. I am very excited for the opportunity.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit about what's going on in your role and in Boyd at Boyd ISD. We'd love to hear.
Yeah. So I work for Boyd Elementary School. And so I'm the department head at that, just the elementary school. And so I lead a team of 10 individuals. I have a few teachers and then paraprofessionals under me. And we are a really cohesive team. It works really, really well. And so last year we started a inclusion-based model. And a co-teach model. So we started it with just our fourth graders. So we put a lot of our students with an IEP, 504, students who were struggling in a class with, and made it blended. You know, we had other students who were also higher medium in there as well. But and then we had two teachers. So we had the general education teacher, and then I pushed in and co-taught alongside her. And we did that for both reading and for math. And we did it all year. And instead of pulling them out of class, typically, right, historically, that's what we were doing, was pulling these students out of class. And I personally really struggled with that as a former resource teacher. I call myself a former resource teacher because now I do only co-teach, because I felt like all I was doing was teaching them on a lower grade level or lower TEKS, which where they were. But statistically, I was reading that if you teach high, they can overcome and reach those limits. So I was like, why not? Can we try? And right, so we had a new principal this last year. She's here again this year. Her name is Mrs. Clark, and she is amazing. She's actually a former special education teacher as well. So we were able to collaborate and just really come up with a good plan. And she was like, yes, like, let's do it. If anybody can do it, you can do it. So I had her full support. And then I had a talk in the fourth grade teachers as well, right? Like, it wasn't just me. Yeah. I mean, they had to get on board with it also. And they were like, okay, yeah, let's try it. So the fourth, I talked in a couple fourth grade teachers to doing it with me. And so reading and math, we rotated. And I found, you know, they were super on board, and we were incredibly successful. And so we were so successful in fourth grade that now we're implementing it for third grade this year. So we brought on another special education teacher. So I was the only special education teacher last year. We moved our former RTI teacher. She loves special education. So I say, welcome to the dark side.
I love that.
Yeah. So she decided to become a SPED teacher this year. So she is actually co-teaching third and fourth grade reading, and I'm co-teaching third and fourth grade math.
Nice.
That's, yeah, really nice. So we're really excited just to kind of see the results. And I mean, I can share some of the statistics with you if you're interested.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's let our reader, our listeners know exactly what you've been able to do. That's amazing. Yeah.
So for these are our numbers that we got back from STAR. Obviously, you know, Texas is a big STAR state. So our closing the gaps numbers. So we gained 23 points in reading. So that was our third graders in 2024 who went up to fourth grade last year, right? That I co-taught in last year, 2025.
Yep. I'm cracking.
So that was reading. So they went from a 37% meets grade level to a 50% fourth grade meets grade level.
Oh, nice.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, incredible. That is incredible.
And then for math, they went from a 29% to a 40% meets grade level.
Nice. And very nice. So, and that also from third grade to fourth grade, right? So it's even bigger than that number actually is, right?
Yeah. Probably, yes. Yeah. So that was just our closing the gaps numbers for our third graders. So all the fourth graders that we co-taught last year. So then for 2024 grade three, our special education indicator was 15 total students. So 26% approach grade level, zero met grade level, and zero master grade level. So those same students in fourth grade that we co-taught last year, our special education indicator was 21 total students. So we had some growth, 33 approach grade levels and 10% met grade level and zero master grade level. But
yeah, but they met it. That's so cool. Congratulations. That is so exciting. I love that for you guys. I absolutely love that.
Yeah. It was very exciting to see that. I mean, all year, you know, we had our many celebrations and we were super excited. We thought we were doing it all right and we were making success, right? But once we actually saw the growth and the map growth and the STAR data, it just really drove it home that what we were doing was working and teaching high to these two students, all students, really does help close gaps. Now, are we always going to close every single gap if they're two grade levels below?
That's not reality.
No.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. Never. But it's also near impossible to close gaps when you're doing resource and you're teaching the same subject or TEK for 6 weeks, you know? So I think resource, I believe in it also. Don't get me wrong. Don't hear me wrong on that. I believe in resource and I think there's a time and a place for it. However, I think that there's also really, really good things that can happen with a co-teach model for students who are willing and able to learn along their grade level peers. So
yeah, and I think that's the key right there. What you just said, it's going to depend on the kids. It's going to depend on some of them. This is probably a beautiful thing because they're not being pulled, right? They're special needs. So they're pulled to resource and there's a stigma that goes with that. So some of them removes that for them, which is gives them more confidence, right?
Yes.
Now, absolutely. Some of the other kids teaching high this is the therapist in me coming out, right? You know, I'm a speech therapist of 31 years, so I get it. I totally get it. I get where you're at. But some of them teaching high may frustrate them to no end, and then you have to scale, right? So I think it's going to be based on, but as a professional who works with these kids and sees both sides of that, it's beautiful because you will know. And that's what IEPs are about. They're individualized, right? So yeah, fantastic. So so what is what you have K through what at Boyd Elementary?
We have K through four.
Oh, it is K-4. Okay. So you have fourth grade. You're doing third grade this year. Do you have plans for second or first grade next? I mean, how are you planning on expanding it beyond this?
Yeah, we'd love to do it in every grade level as the needs arise, obviously. Mm-hmm. And in our K-1-2, we push in a lot with our teachers' assistants or paraeducators, who I also empower for teachers to really use them as they would use me. Like, I love when I walk into a classroom and our teachers' assistants are running small groups. I think it's so neat, and students see them as teachers as well. And I feel like they should respect them as teachers as well.
Absolutely.
And they work in the school system. They are incredibly smart, just like we are. So I've encouraged teachers and our TAs to be utilized in that sort of way, because that's how our co-teach model works. Is we do whole group instruction for a short amount of time. And then the rest of the time we're doing small groups. So two teachers are seeing groups of kids, you know. So for our K-1-2 classes, a lot of those are being tapped into throughout our TAs or paraeducators.
We all feel it. Students are struggling more than ever with emotional and behavioral challenges. Lighthouse Therapy offers virtual, hybrid, and in-person behavioral and mental health support that builds around your school environment. Our licensed professionals are trauma-informed, experienced, and trained to work with K-12 students and staff. You don't get a cookie-cutter approach. You get a partner who listens, adapts, and builds trust. Because when students feel safe and seen, they thrive. Learn how you can get support at your school at lighthouse-therapy.com/brighter together. And you're just guiding them, right? You, as the professionals in the room, you're guiding them on what they need to do in those groups so that they know, because they haven't had that education, but they know those kids too. So it's always, I just want to be clear for you guys, because, you know, it's like, they're not certified people. So we want to be clear about what we're doing.
Lesson.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But they are supporting those kids in a lesson that's already been taught to them. And helping them to get it, which is really a neat way to use your paras as well. So, and a lot of paras, you know, I've heard this a lot. Paras, some of them are there's lots of programs around the country. I talked to somebody in Michigan. They're doing that very thing. They're turning them into teachers. They're like, they're showing them that they can be teachers. They have the experience, and they're getting them pathways to become teachers to deal with the incredible shortages we have with sped teachers and teachers in general. So so that's really cool too. So the more they get to do that, the more they see the power of what they're doing. And that's amazing. That is really amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. Yeah, they're incredible also. I couldn't do my job without them for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Kudos to them. You know, for those of you that are paras and TAs, we love you. And you need to hear that. You need to hear that you are as valuable as anybody else in that arena. So I always said, I've done teletherapy since 2011. I've been a speech therapist for 31 years, but they are so key to the other side of what you do, because, you know, you get a good one and it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing because they're your hands and feet when you're a virtual therapist and I'm 2,000 miles away. They are my hands and feet for everything that we do. And it's just really, I've had some incredible paras that I've worked with in the past. So some of them are still really good friends. So as an entrepreneur and as a business owner, I don't get to do therapy anymore, which just breaks my heart sometimes. But I tell people, I'm like, okay, I could see about 55 kids as a therapist, or I can serve 2,700 kids as a CEO. So yeah, trade-off. So
yes, absolutely.
Pick your battles, right? Yeah.
Right.
So, awesome. So, So how has the rest of we talked about the kids, we talked about the teachers. What about the parents? How have the parents, what is their reaction to this? And have there been any objections? Or, you know, I'm just curious about how that side of it worked. Because they have buy-in as well.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. From our experience, parents have loved it because their children have loved it and their children are making gains. And like you had said earlier, confidence is growing. I knew one student in particular last year, she really struggled with having to get pulled out of the classroom. And on our campus, K-4, we have blocks of time, not periods. You know, in intermediate middle, they have periods. So when they are in resource, they're pulled out for that entire period. Whereas here on our campus, if I'm doing resource, I'm knocking on the door and I'm pulling that student out for 30 minutes and then they're going back in. And it's sometimes really embarrassing. And they don't love to be identified or noticed as somebody being taken out of class. And you know that, right? From being an SLP for so many years. It's just in a different capacity. So her mom actually thanked me numerous times because she was just so much happier to be at school. She didn't feel any more tension with her friends. She didn't feel scared to make or to have relationships. And then on top of that, she was also new to our district. So,
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, new to our district, incoming IEP. you know, all those mix of emotions, you're a third grade girl, all the things, right? So going into fourth grade, then going to a co-teach model, and she really flourished everywhere, socially, academically, emotionally. She was just a different person. And I think a lot of that was attributing to really not being pulled out of class. So from a parent, we haven't had any complaints from parents. In fact, in our meetings, when we're talking about it, they love the idea that their students aren't being pulled away from their grade level peers. And they think it's great. So
yeah,
we've got a lot of support from parents.
So does the district, do you just have the one elementary school or do you have other elementary schools?
We're very rural, growing massively, but we have one elementary, one intermediate, and one high school.
Awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. Because I'm wondering, like, moving it elsewhere, you know, expanding the program beyond, you know, the two that you've done. That just is. But there's, you know, there's, I've talked to some districts where they have a total inclusion model, which is really neat as well. You know, again, it has to be individualized based on the kids, but and how your team is set up. But the fact that you've embraced this and your principals embraced it, and it's blessed the kids and it's blessed the parents, and now, you know, and you see it, you see the results. That's the hardest thing sometimes when you're a therapist or a teacher. You know, you're doing this day in and day out. Am I making a difference? Is it making a difference?
Right.
I think it is. I think they're getting better, you know, and then you get the data back or it's progress report time and you look at it and you go, I always say that to parents too. Whenever we, as an SLP, and if you're a parent listening to me and you have a child with an articulation issue, record them right now, because you are not going to hear and see those changes, because the changes are so subtle. You know, just don't even realize. My daughter was, and I was her mom, you know, I wasn't the speech therapist. Here I'm a speech therapist, and my 4-year-old little girl says Frosty the Snowman for Frosty the Snowman. You know, I mean, I don't know, she's got a phonological issue going on right there, but she's as headstrong as I am. So she actually she works for me now and she has no issues, but she did as a little, and I knew that, but I could not work with her because I was mom. So I knew to take her in and get her assessed, and we actually did. We came to the district because she was a preschooler. So she would go to therapy for half an hour, 2 days a week. And by first grade, she was done. You know, she was completely done. But it was one of those things where it's like she was not going to do it with me, but she would with somebody else. And then I could do the homework with her, you know. And it really made it so that she already knew what was coming when she went to kindergarten and then first grade. And by first grade, she was our. But I did not, to my point, sorry, I didn't see those changes. I mean, I knew she was doing better, but and I didn't. I mean, I have some recordings of her when she was really little, but have a conversation with your child as you're talking to them, record it, because then you look at it 6 months, 9 months, a year, 2 years later, and it's staggering the differences that you'll see. You know, some of it's just developmental, right? But some of it truly is, this is what we did. This is how we made improvements. So
I've
always been an advocate for that. So,
Well, and like you had said, it's all individualized, right? And I'd like to say that too before we end is, it's so important to meet students where they are at. And for me, I've kind of taken a step back. We can do resource in a classroom, in my opinion, right? So like I can pull a group of students just as easy as I can in my classroom. I can do it inside the general education classroom and work with, just because my student has an IEP doesn't mean that the student next to him may not be struggling with the same concept of place value. So if I'm going to pull this student to my classroom and work on place value because he has resource on his IEP for 30 minutes, why can't I do that in the classroom and pull a group with more students who are also struggling and impact more kids? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's
And somebody that might, a child that might be marginal, like just isn't quite getting it, but isn't on an IEP, man, they learn from each other. They really do.
Yeah.
I love that too. I've always told my therapist, I'm like, mixed groups work really well. Like you're working with a child. I'm falling back on my speech therapy, but you have a child that has an articulation problem, and then you have a child that has a comprehension issue. And what happens when you do groups like that is the comprehension child helps the language or the articulation child and vice versa. And they have a good time. And, you know, a language lesson can be an articulation. If you have a good therapist, you can do all of that. As you know, you can scale anything and make anything a lesson. So it's just a matter of knowing what you're doing and what their needs are. Right. Yeah. So I love that.
Yeah.
I bet too. It's probably a good thing for the school, because if you're no longer using that resource room, that opens up a room for something else, right?
Yes.
Space is always an issue. As an SLP who has been in the Harry Potter closet under the stairs, I totally know that. So
yes, you're hitting the nail on the head. Yes.
Awesome. Well, I have one last question. So, and I try to, you know, I ask this question to most, not every, it depends on the group, but, or the person, but if you could change, miraculously fix one thing in your world with your kids, and you can't save money, and I know you've already made these amazing changes, but if you could change one thing and have it not be an issue, what would it be?
For everybody just to be kind.
Good one. Yeah.
I was just in lunch duty earlier, and it kind of brings tears to my eye just thinking about it, but there was a kid who wouldn't let another student sit next to him. And so the other student just stood back with his lunch tray, and he just cried.
Aww.
And he just didn't know. He was a kindergartner, so he didn't know what to say or what to do. So I had to come over, and I was like, what's wrong? So I think if I could fix anything, it would just be for kids just to be kind to everybody, no matter what they look like or how they sound or how they talk or how they walk or don't walk or whatever. Just to be kind.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a Christian. Love God, love others. You know, that's it.
Yes.
Those are the two greatest commandments that we have. And loving others means no matter what their issues are, no matter the color of their skin, no matter what their orientation, any of that stuff. I don't care about any of that stuff. I just have to, I'm called to love you. And that is what I need to do. And that is, it's hard. It's hard when they don't love you back. Sometimes you don't get it back. And that's okay too, because I've done what I've been called to do. And that's, I mean, it's just who I am and how I look at the world. That's a great one. It's a great one, because it is hard, and it's hard to see kids hurt. You don't want kids hurt. So, all right. Well, where do people find you and your school if they have questions?
So boydisd.net is our website, where you can find me, I guess, would be my email address, aunru@boydisd.net.
Awesome. I'm sure it's probably on the website. Probably there's a way to reach you. Yeah. So,
and
Unruh is UNRUH, just so people know. So, because I wouldn't have gotten it right. I probably wouldn't get it right. I didn't even say it right the first time. So there you go.
Yeah. I typically go by Miss Amanda at school because
there you go. Yeah.
Yeah. Most of kiddos don't call me Mrs. Unruh. So
gotcha. That's fantastic. Yeah. Well, thank you, Amanda, again. Thank you for your grace, because I was a little bit late getting here, getting started. So Amanda has been so gracious to me as well, and I really appreciate that. Have an amazing 25-26 school year. It's August 28th. You'll probably be hearing this in October, but it is the beginning, and we are excited for this year. So
thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate you, and I hope you have a good year as well.
All right. Take care.